From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin seeks villagers' involvement in stunting reduction. The National Police to carry out the Mantap Brata operation to secure the 2024 election. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has said that stunting reduction efforts must involve all elements of the community, down to the village level. As reported by Antara, he conveyed this while chairing the Stunting Reductions Acceleration Coordination Meeting in Mamuju District, West Sulawesi on Thursday. He noted West Sulawesi is one of the provinces that have received attention from the government regarding acceleration stunting reductions. He also said, even though in the past 4 years, West Sulawesi's stunting prevalence has tended to decline, it is still pegged at 35%, which is high. The National Police Polri will hold an operation called Mantap Brata to secure the 2024 general election and its stages. It was pointed out by the head of the Public Relations Division of the National Police, Inspector General of Police Irjen Pol Dedi Prasetyo, to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Thursday. Dedi also explained the operation is to assure the stages of the election to run smoothly and democratically. He further said the Indonesian police has communicated with both the General Elections Commission's KPU or the Election Supervisory Agency Bawaslu, as well as local governments to work together to secure the 2024 election process.
The National Police will carry out Operation Mantap Brata, which is in accordance with the stages of the October 2023 election, until later when the President-elect is inaugurated.
Moreover, Dedi further conveyed that for securing the 2024 election abroad, the Indonesian Police has also communicated with the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry and Indonesian representative abroad. He noted the security process will be done through the police attaché at every Indonesian representative abroad. Nevertheless, Dedi hopes that the people will also participate in securing the election. He also hopes that the community will not be easily influenced by the spread of unconfirmed hoax information that aims at dividing the unity and integrity of Indonesia. The National Cyber and Encryptions Agency, BSSN, has started preparing measures to mitigate cyber attack risk, which are expected to rise ahead of the 2024 general election. This was conveyed by an official from the agency, Anton Setiawan, on Thursday, as quoted by Antara. According to Setiawan, the General Election Commission KPU has developed a good system for the 2024 election. KPU has consistently coordinated with the BSSN to protect cyberspace security, including by forming a task force that involves several stakeholders. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto has continued to push for the development of digital talent to optimize the potential of Society 5.0. As reported by Antara, Minister Hartarto at the 8th Congress of the Indonesian Muslim Students Union, SEMI, on Thursday explained that to face Society 5.0, Indonesia needs superior and competitive human resources especially those with digital literacy and skills. He hopes that the younger generation has the literacy skills for digitalization. The government has prepared a number of programs to encourage increased digital literacy and skills, such as the Pre-Employment Card Program and National Digital Literacy Program. Let's move on to the international news, where the UN General Assembly in New York has overwhelmingly backed a resolution condemning Russia's invasion of Ukraine nearly a year ago. As reported by BBC.com, it called for the withdrawal of troops from Ukraine and a halt to fighting. The motion was backed by 141 nations, with 32 abstaining and 7, including Russia, voting against. In Vienna, a large number of delegates walked out during a Russian address at the parliamentary sessions of a European security body. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, walked out, and the UN vote came a day before the first anniversary of the invasion. Search and rescue teams from Saudi civil defense have completed their operations in Turkey following the 6.4 magnitude earthquake on Monday. As reported by ArabNews.com on Thursday, the organization met the International Search and Rescue Advisory Group, Turkey's Disasters and Emergency Management Presidency, and other local authorities to coordinate its efforts. It carried out search and rescue missions in 47 locations across the cities of Gaziantep, Antakya, and Kahramanmaras, using cutting-edge technology and equipment. Singapore will contribute $200,000 US, or $270,000 Singapore, to support ongoing humanitarian relief and reconstruction efforts in earthquake-devastated Turkey and Syria. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, MFA, said on Friday that Singapore will donate $100,000 US to Turkey through the Singapore Red Cross charity and $100,000 US to the United Nations Humanitarian Appeal for Syria, which was launched on February 14. The MFA also mentioned that MFA hopes that these contributions will help the peoples of Turkey and Syria recover from the aftermath of this devastating disaster. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today. An international community condemns Israel attacks in West Bank.
Today's commentary is on international community condemns Israel's attacks in the West Bank. Israel launched another attack on the neighbor's area in the West Bank, Palestine, last Wednesday, February the 22nd. The Israeli army attack killed more than 10 Palestinians, including a teenager and a 72-year-old man. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, the attack also injured more than 100 Palestinians. The Israeli Defense Forces, or IDF, entered the old city of Nablus in the morning, sparking clashes with Palestinian armed groups. According to the IDF, it stepped up operations after its troops came under fire from Palestinian armed groups. The IDF then fired missiles at the wanted militia's hideout, causing part of the building collapse. Several sources on the Palestinian side said two Islamic Jihad commanders were killed in the attack. Hamas, a Palestinian militia group that has occasionally joined forces with the Islamic Jihad group, has threatened reprisals from the Gaza Strip, the territory it controls. Abu Ubaidah, a spokesman for the Hamas armed forces, confirmed on the Telegram application that his party's patience was running out to retaliate against the Israeli side. The deadly attack, which Israel claims as a counter-terrorism operation, immediately received a strong response from both Palestine and the international community. Top Palestinian officials Hussein al-Sheikh denounced the attack as a massacre and called for international protection for the Palestinian people. Palestine has also asked the UN Security Council to hold an emergency session on the Israeli forces operation in Nablus. Palestinian foreign Riyad Malki has also asked the Arab League Council to convene at the permanent representative level to discuss incident in Nablus. A request for a meeting was also submitted to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or OIC, to condemn Israel's action. Meanwhile, U.S. State Department spokesman Ned Price expressed Washington's concern over the incident. The European Union head of foreign policy, Josep Borrell, said that the European Union is very worried about increasing violence in the West Bank. He called on all parties to work to restore peace and avoid further loss of life. France also made strong comments. It condemns acts of violence committed against civilians and reaffirms Israel's obligation to respect international humanitarian law by using force proportionately. In addition, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the situation in the Palestinian territories had been very precarious for many years. According to him, tensions have escalated because the peace process has stalled. Both parties should have continued the peace process while respecting and appreciating the achievements so far, including what has been agreed upon in the points of the historic agreement, which was signed at the White House, United States, on September 13, 1993. That was commentary.
Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Indonesian Ambassador to Hungary Dimas Wahab conveyed that in 4 years, the number of scholarships for Indonesian students to study in Hungary was continued to increase. As quoted by Antara on Wednesday, while receiving a visit by Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR Rahmat Gobel to responding to an invitation from the Hungarian Parliament, Dimas Wahab pointed out that currently there are 110 Indonesian students every year who receive scholarships in Hungary. This number was increased from only 40 people in 4 years ago. Dimas Wahab further explained the Indonesian government also provides scholarships for Hungarian students in Indonesia. He said this is important to introduce and promote Indonesia and strengthen relations of both countries. According to Dimas, Indonesian arts and cultures are quite well known in Hungary, at least when the Indonesian embassy will hold a puppet show in April 2023. The tickets will be sold out immediately by the Hungarian people. Furthermore, Ambassador Dimas Wahab also explained that in the last 4 years, the number of Indonesian workers working in Hungary has continued to increase. This can be seen from the number of Indonesian citizens in Hungary from 300 to around 1,300 people. Since the last few years, lots of young Hungarians have chosen to work in other countries in Western Europe due to higher salaries. Thus, the Hungarian government has opened up workers from various countries, including Indonesia. Meanwhile, in the field of economic sector, trade and investment relations are still relatively small. The biggest new investment is from Rotex LTD, which won the tender for the digital toll payment system or multi-lane free flow MLFF with an investment of around $300 million. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian Parliament for Industry and Development Rahmat Gobel said, students and workers from Indonesia could learn and adopt technological advances in Hungary. Rahmat Gobel hopes that there will be more cooperation related to people-to-people contact between the two countries, in addition to economic cooperation that is still needed to improve.
Voice of Indonesia.
I'll begin today in history with February the 24th, 1920, the Nazi Party founded in Germany. The German National Socialist Workers' Party, better known as the Nazi Party, is a political party that existed in Germany. Previously, it was founded as the German Workers' Party by Anton Drexler, a Munich locksmith, in 1919. Hitler then joined the minor party in September 1919. The Nazi Party was founded in the early 1920s and is headquartered in Munich. Previously, it was called Deutsche Arbeiterpartei or German Workers' Party. The name was changed on February 24, 1920 after Adolf Hitler took the leadership of the party. The official emblem of the Nazi Party was the swastika. Turning to 1955, the birth date of Apple computer founder Steve Jobs. Stephen Paul Steve Jobs was born in San Francisco, California, United States, on February 24, 1955. He is an American business magnate and inventor, co-founder, chairman, and former CEO of Apple Incorporation. Jobs also previously served as chief executive of Pixar Animation Studios, and he became a member of the board of directors of the Walt Disney Company in 2006 following Disney's takeover of Pixar. His name is listed as an executive producer on the 1995 Toy Story film. I'll end today in history with February the 24th, 1981. British Buckingham Palace announces the engagement of Prince Charles and Lady Diana. On February 24, 1981, through the Lord Chancellor, the engagement of the Crown Prince of the United Kingdom, Prince Charles, to Lady Diana Spencer was officially announced. As quoted from People.com, the contents of the announcement says, "It is with great pleasure that the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh announced the engagement of their beloved son, Prince of Wales, to Lady Diana Spencer, daughter of Earl Spencer and the Honourable Mrs. Asian Kate." 5 months later, on July 29, 1981, the wedding of Prince Charles and Lady Diana was held at St. Paul's Cathedral in front of about 3,500 guests. That was today in history.
Berharap temukan cintamu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Semuanya berbeda. Waktu pertama ku melihatmu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang kaku, akan kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku. Oh, eh,
kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang
untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda hati yang
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Inka Group, a state-owned integrated train and land transportation manufacturing company, exported 133 units of container flat-top or CFT wagons of Kiwi Rail, New Zealand. As quoted from Antara News Agency on Thursday, Inka President Director Eko Purwanto in Madiun, East Java, said that 133 freight cars were part of 262 cars procurement projects from an Australian company, UGL, in January 2021. Two prototype units of this project were sent in mid-2022 and have passed dynamic tests by UGL and Kiwi Rail. According to Eko, Inka Group also got a contract from UGL for 450 cars procurement in September 2022 and a contract for 50 units of locomotive platforms or under frame in November 2021. He was proud of UGL's order that proves Inka's capability to compete at the international level. He hopes that the cooperation can continue considering there are a lot of needs over there. Meanwhile, Kiwi Rail Director for Rolling Stock Procurement Program, Chrissy Farrago, said that the new cars will replace the old ones as part of Kiwi Rail's operational modernization program. Chrissy also said when the testing is over, the new cars will be located and used for carrying lumbers as one of Kiwi Rail service for forestry industries in New Zealand. Kiwi Rail is a state-owned train operator in New Zealand. It is also the biggest ferry operator in the country. By supplying 262 freight cars for the New Zealand, it is expected to be a big step for Inka Groups to make a major role in the Oceanian railway market. Hey,
asmara yang ada antara diriku dengan cinta. Menjadi teman baikku, kemudikan bahagia. Ataupun tempat terlindung bersama air mata.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Beaches in Krui. Being located on the south coast of Sumatra Island, Lampung has a lot of beautiful beaches. If you are in Lampung, please try to go to the Krui area because there are many rows of beautiful beaches. Krui is the capital of the West Coast District, Lampung. The scenery is quite beautiful, and the beaches in Krui also have big waves, which are a paradise for surfers. Krui can be accessed from M. Taufik Kiamas Airport, Lampung, Then the trip is continued by land transportation from 6 to 7 hours. You don't need to pay an entrance ticket to the beaches in Krui. You only need to pay for the vehicle parking ticket. Listener, Krui has a beautiful coastal mainland. There is Labuhan Jukung Krui Beach. Here, there are many exciting tourism activities, including watching the beautiful sunset, surfing, and culinary tours of typical West Coast food. This beach has a wide expanse of sand. Besides, the sand is also soft with a clean white color. Then there is Karang Nyimbor Beach or Ujung Bocur Beach. Like Labuhan Jukung Krui Beach, this beach also has quite high waves, which are around 5 to 6 meters high. If you come at the right time, you might be able to try the waves with the pipeline character. These waves appear occasionally and become a favorite spot for surfers. Listener, there is also Tobak Beach in Krui, which has black sand. Apart from being a tourism spot, the beach is also a small port to go to Banana Island. Visiting the area, you will see scattered rocks of various sizes. There is the Mandiri Beach Island, which is a paradise for surfers with black sand. Another beach which is also in the Krui beach line is Walur Beach. At the beach, you will find meadows decorated with coconut trees. The stretch of white sand here is also soft and perfect for relaxing while watching the sunset. Apart from surfing, you can fish and swim at the beach. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Bisa kembali, tapi waktu tak berhenti. Seharusnya kita berdiri, hadapi seadanya. Coba berpikir dan pahami. Awal
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany.
New York Indonesian Fashion Week NYIFW was held on February 11, 2023 with 18 Indonesian fashion brands and one US local brand. The event was held on board a cruise ship. NYIWF producers Fanny Tosinyong said that the biggest challenge they faced was stage management. This was their first to hold a fashion show on a cruise ship during the New York Fashion Week, so that the team had to be able to execute the model's fitting, makeup, hairdo, rehearsal, and runway within 4 hours. Fanny also said that Indonesian designers were so enthusiastic to join the show. Besides the fashion show, the designers went around the New York City Harbor. The event was in cooperation with Indonesia Fashion and Art Festival, IFAF. Entering its 12th session, NYIFW shared the same theme, namely international fashions and arts. Fanny also pointed out that the designers hope they could have a market in the US and their brands get more appreciations in Indonesia and abroad. For post-show marketing, New York Indonesia Fashion Week operated with galleries in the US, such as Dia Gallery in Wilmington, Delaware.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a original song from Toraja entitled Sarira Parerung. The song narrates condolences to families who have been abandoned by a family member. In the past, it was often sung when a family or relative died as a condolence. However, because the rhythm is quite cheerful, now it is often sung in various events. So the people of Toraja think that this song is about happiness. Here is Ivan Swadi featuring Putri Reski with the original song from Toraja entitled Sarira Parerung.
Oh,
Voice of Indonesia.
Temukan cintamu, kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Semuanya berbeda, waktu pertama ku melihatmu. Kamu, kamu, ya kamu. Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat, melihat senyum manismu.
Menggoda di angkaku, akan kehadiran cinta. Ini kan namanya cinta pada pandangan pertamaku. Oh, hey, 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 yeah.
Langkah kakiku ini berhenti tepat di hadapanmu.
Kamu, kamu, ya kamu.
Ku tak ragu, ku tak bimbang
untuk menjadikan kamu ratu, ratu di hatiku.
Aku tiba-tiba sayang, aku tiba-tiba cinta. Waktu pertama melihat,
tiba-tiba cinta.
Listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.